The crew all season long on WTMJ. It's Brewers Extra Innings. Now, live from American Family Field, here's your host, Dominic Catronio.
Well, this is a lot easier to talk about. I mean, what are you guys all worried about yesterday? This was fun. 9-0. No big deal at all. This was a complete game, top to bottom, every facet of the game. And the headline is the pitching performance. Tobias Myers, for the second time this year, 8 shutout innings for the rookie. He did it in Detroit at the start of June. Now he does it here at home for the first time. And it's perfect, Jerry Augustine, that Tobias Myers does it in front of you. We get to talk about a rookie pitcher coming out here. He's the only rookie to have multiple starts of 8 shutout innings this year in the bigs. He's the first Brewer to do it since 2013 in Willie Peralta. There's a blast from the past. Wow. This is a guy that, to me, when I see Tobias, and when I see him over his last week or so, or I should say the last month or so, it's hard to quantify confidence, but you can see there's a swagger out there that his stuff is playing at the big leagues, and I think what we've seen in this last 7-8 start stretch, it's all clicked for him.
I agree with you. He was impressive right from the start, and I think the first thing you have to, when a young pitcher comes to the big leagues, he has to figure out whether he belongs here or not. He's got to go out and say, hey, the stuff that I got, can I pitch at this level? And when we saw him early in the season, he was that fastball, curveball guy, had a little bit of a changeup, and he would go about his job that way and threw the ball very well. But what he did is he's taken the game, and he studied it, and all now he's expanded it. Now you look at what he is tonight. Now, he's got 5 pitches. They're all quality pitches. He throws them all for strikes anytime he wants. Whatever the numbers you put down, he's going to throw it. And I think when you look at him, tonight he had four three-out, three-up, three-down innings. That's for a young pitcher, that's fantastic. Not only that, coming from his last start, he went in with his last start, and he was working on his breaking ball. He's talked about his slider, how it wasn't effective, how he had to be better. And he found out about himself, you know, up in Colorado where it's hard to throw a breaking ball, he learned something from himself. He said, you know what? You just got to throw it. And you got to throw it, and you got to exaggerate your follow-through, and you got to know what you want to throw it in the zone. And he got it, and he used it tonight. Very effective. All his pitches were good. Throwing 70% strikes for a young pitcher like that is absolutely phenomenal.
Let me just give you his timeline here real quick, just a reminder in case you missed it. So he came up at the end of April, seemed to be a couple of spot starts when Wade Miley first went down. His first big league start was against these Pirates, His first big league pitch was a leadoff homer by Andrew McCutchen, remember, BNC Park. And then he pitched great for the rest of that game. He got beat up by the Yankees. I mean, it was the Yankees, what to expect. So only 4 runs over 5 innings of work. He made another couple of starts against the Cubs, and he struggled in that one. And then against the Cardinals, he only went 4 innings and had 4 walks. He gets optioned back to AAA. He arrives back in Miami when the Brewers especially needed him because Joe Ross had his back lockup and he was suddenly not available. So he took Joe Ross's spot in the rotation for a couple times through, struggled against the White Sox at the end of May, is optioned again back down to AAA. Well, 4 days later, Robert Gasser lands on the IL, and then Tobias has to come back up. And since that start on June 7th, that was the great start he had against the Detroit Tigers, he has finally been the guy that, I'm not saying like there was a long prospect pedigree with this guy, but that's where it clicked. That's where he was seeing swings and weak contact. He doesn't mind swings. He doesn't need swing and miss. But from that moment on, he's been a whole new pitcher, and I'm pulling up the numbers right now. Since June 7th, including tonight, 7 starts, 5-1 record, 1.79 ERA, 45 innings pitched. He's allowed 32 hits, but only 9 earned runs. And of those hits, only 3 homers, and best yet, only 10 walks. He's getting the control. He's in the zone. We saw all the 0-2 counts today. Ever since that last option, when he came back up on June 7th, this has been the guy that we've been seeing.
And I think the one thing that you look at what he's done since he's come up, when we saw him early in the season, he was that kind of guy that he throws over the top. He's got that 4-seam fastball. He throws at the top, a little bit of a 2-seam in his breaking ball. He was pitching up in his zone, throwing the curveball down. But what you see out of him now, he takes all his pitches and he says, you know what? I can throw them to all quadrants. I can throw you a high fastball up and make you look at it. And then what I can do is I can burn that outside corner with a 2-seam or a 4-seam on that that outside corner, and it's going to be a strike. We saw him a lot tonight. Throw that ball on the outside corner, and you know, the umpire was giving him a little. You know what? That's pitching. Expand the strike zone. That's what you want pitchers to do. I thought he has really come along. And I think a pitch that is really going to make him better as he goes along was something that he learned in Colorado, is being able to say, hey, I'm going to throw that slider. I'm going to throw it hard. I'm going to locate it real well to both sides of the plate, and I'm going to utilize it as one of my big pitches. And I'll tell you what, it was effective tonight with his good fastball that he used. He was just, when you look at him, I think at one time, didn't he have like 16 or 17 straight strikes?
16 straight
locating
strikes.
Locating those. When you talk about a pitcher, a young pitcher that's just up to the big leagues in his first year throwing 17 straight strikes in a row, that's unheard of. That was fantastic. And he does it. And he does it with an idea of accomplishing what? Getting an out. Put the ball in play. And if you don't put the ball in play, I'm going to put the ball in a spot where I'm going to get you out.
Some of the stuff so that streak that you're talking about started in the third inning when he struck out Jared Triolo for the second out of that inning. Then he threw four pitches to Andrew McCutchen. All strikes, struck him out looking. Got ahead of Brian Reynolds 0-2. He ended up getting a base hit the other way. Got ahead of Raddy Tellez. He popped out in foul territory 0-2. Then he got ahead of Nick Gonzalez 0-2, struck him out looking on a fastball. Then he got ahead of Joshua Palacios 0-2, and then finally bounced one in the dirt before he ultimately grounded out to end that inning. And then you look in the next frame, I mean, he had one walk today over eight innings of work. He only yielded three at-bats with a runner in scoring position on the other side, and the one hit was just a line drive single to left with Rowdy on second. He's not going to score on that. With Tobias, I think it's an anomaly that all six strikeouts were looking and all on fastballs, but that also tells me they're not picking it up. They're not seeing it. That wasn't so much strike zone. I have no qualms with Clint Vondrak's strike zone tonight. Both Brewers or Pirates side, no one should be complaining. I thought the strike zone was phenomenal. You said maybe there were a couple, sure, but those were close enough to swing at. But what it tells me with six looking strikeouts, the carry on that fastball was catching them by surprise. And you said it, early in the year he was at the top of the zone. Now he's trusting it at the bottom of the zone because he's realizing no one's biting on it because they can't believe that it's carrying all the way to the knees.
And then the thing he'll do is he'll get you looking for that fastball up in the zone, and then he'll throw a medium-low changeup, and you go, boy, it just gets them off their front foot, falls them off. What was so nice about the way he pitched today is that when he needed that pitch, he had needed that location, he was a little bit like Colin Ray. I mean, we've talked a lot about Colin Ray, how he pitches to the fringes on the strike zone when you see it on TV. He was that way tonight. He was locating. But I think anytime you get a pitcher that, with an umpire, I don't care who the umpire is, when you dominate the corners, they're going to expand the strike zone. And that's exactly what this kid is learning to do. He's expanding the strike zone, not only up in the strike zone, but he's expanding it not so much down, but on the side to side. He's able to go in off the plate and show and then come away. You can't cover both sides of the plate. Now use a changeup to break a ball and locate the pitches like you are and pitch ahead like he does. Boy, that's called pitching.
And it sounds simple, but I mean, pitching ahead, it sounds, oh yeah, of course, you want to get ahead. But 0-2 is not easy to get to, obviously. 10 out of the 27 batters he faced tonight, or excuse me, 28 batters that he faced tonight, had an 0-2 count at some point in their count. The reason why that's such a big deal is I'm literally pulling up the league average splits and the difference between just a 1-1 count and an 0-2 count is absolutely insane. So I'm pulling it up now. On a 1-1 count, or after a 1-1 count, batters average hitting .221, which doesn't sound great, right? Well, after an 0-2 count, it's .150. It's 70 points less. The OPS falls all the way down to under .400. It sounds, oh yeah, just get ahead. But this is why you get ahead. You keep the hitters on their back foot.
And it's all about command. It's about the abilities. Like they say that he's got four or five different pitches and he throws them to good locations. It's if you can command the strike zone on both sides of the plate, up and down, and have the faith in all your pitches. Everybody's a fastball pitcher. Everybody's got to be able to locate locate your fastball. That's one thing he does very well. And they say that it's sometimes because he comes over the top, he might be a little bit hard to pick up. I just think that he throws that. I'd like to see the spin ratio on his fastballs. I bet you it's just incredibly high, because it seems like that ball, some balls, when it comes in there, it's got a good velocity, 93, 94. But some 93s or 94s look like 95, 96, 97s, because they have that little extra finish on it. I think one thing Tobias has, he has that pitch, that fastball that he can get finish on, and that makes it awful tough to get on, because you see a lot of balls he throws a little bit above the beltway and they can't get around on it. That's because he's got that little finish on it.
Yeah, exactly. We can measure that with something called induced vertical break, or IVB, and he was averaging like 19, even 20 in the final inning of work, which is elite. To think of it this way, we think of Freddy Peralta as a pitcher like
that's
that.
That's right.
And Freddy averages like 16, 17, which is still above league average and very good. Yeah. Tobias was 19, 20 tonight.
That's phenomenal.
Yeah.
Phenomenal. And that's where we see what Freddy has done. And Freddy's actually, when you look at what he's done in his last couple of starts, he's going back to saying, you know what? When I throw my fastball, I'm going to throw my fastball. Mm-hmm. It's not I'm going to pitch my fastball or I'm not going to pitch with it. I am going to throw it. I know where I have to throw it. I know I can locate it, and it's going to be successful. So I think Tobias has really taken something from his pitchers that he has, Colin Ray and Freddie Peralta and these guys, and he said, you know what? I can learn. You know why? Because look what they do. They locate it, they get ahead, and boy, can you be successful when you can get the secondary pitches over to play.
855-616-1620 is the phone number. Again, 855-616-1620. If you're staying up late, you can call, you can text, you can hang out with us. Real quick, Augie, would you have sent him back out for the ninth inning? Were you thinking about it?
But you know what?
He was at 103 pitches, if I'm not mistaken. 100, yeah.
You know what? To be honest, if he wasn't a rookie, if he wasn't a young kid, I would have done it. Yeah. But you know what? He is just, you know, he's in a groove. It's so positive. Positive to say, you know what? He just went eight innings and he just beautiful, beautiful artistic baseball. You know what? Let's leave him there. Now he's got something to think about his next start, and it's going to be all positive. I like that part of it.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't want him to face Brian Reynolds again, given how great he has been. And then it just takes one batter, and they're like, well, why'd you send me back out here? And I lost the shutout or something. But
that's right.
I'm fine with it. I get how some people are like old school, and why don't guys go complete games? Well, you're going to need. He's probably going to start Saturday or Sunday against the Twins next week. So it's going to be really, really important for him. We're going to take a quick breather, come back with more after this. Brewers get the victory over the Pirates 9-0 right here in your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
Coming up, more Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Barry.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Welcome back. Under the open roof here at American Family Field, I'm Dominic Catronio. Jerry Augustine is still here with us as well. Brewers get a win 9-0. They punch right back after the tough loss yesterday. Tobias Myers is the story. But we haven't even talked about the offense yet. A couple of texts that I've rolled in here. Get to those as well. Want to remind you that Brewers Extra Innings all season long is brought to you by Fifth Third Bank. With a local Milwaukee team, Fifth Third Bank also knows how to hit it out of the park. They've been serving businesses in the area for nearly 15 years, offering industry-specific expertise and local decision-making capabilities, all to help your business succeed. It's commercial banking value only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, member FDIC. So Tobias goes 8 shutout. Part of the reason he was allowed to do that is because the offense was phenomenal, getting up off the deck after yesterday's tough outing. And I thought it was so important for the Brewers to punch in the first inning. And to do it, Martin Perez got the first two outs on just 6 pitches. He was ahead of Yelich 0-2. And then in the Brewers' relentless undaunted, is one of those new words that Pat Murphy's using now,
yeah.
Undaunted fashion, Yelly legs out an infield hit, and then before you know it, it's 2-0 Brewers. I mean, that inning with 2 outs and 2 strikes is exactly how you paint the picture of Brewers baseball. Yelly an infield hit, Adames with 2 strikes on the 6th pitch of his at-bat, an opposite field double, Sal Frelick an opposite field single, boom, 2-0 against Perez.
Little veteran leadership right there with Yelly. He just, you know, he does so much, and we look at what he's been doing and how he's hitting the ball right now and what he's doing for this ball club. That was huge in that first inning. He, you know, some guys would have hit the ball and just got run down the first base. He legged it out, and by him legging it out, put Adames in a position where another great two-out at-bat. two strike at bat with him, and he just did a great job. So you get these the veterans what they're doing now. You put them in the middle of the lineup. We talk so much about it that 2 through 5, and you stick a rookie in right in front of a Hoskins. It's really paid off for Murph and this ball club because it's just they just do the little things. They show these young players that you know what you can get on our back and ride, but sometimes you have to help us ride. You have to pull a cart. And boy, I tell you what, each and every one is doing a good job.
And just another classic Brewer Gaze. I'm looking at the line here. 14 hits is phenomenal. And 2 home runs, one of them coming really late with Willy Adames. But they didn't need the home run ball tonight, right? With Reese hitting a solo shot and then Willy having the 3-run shot. So 5 of their runs were scored without the home run ball, which were obviously plenty tonight. But how about this? Equal 6 walks and 6 strikeouts. It's putting the ball in play. A lot of this coming with 2 outs, too, to keep Rowley's alive, because all of the runs they scored on Martin Perez came with 2 outs as well.
You know, the one thing that's been really interesting with this ball club, Dom, is the way they run the bases. I tell you, if you take about this ball club and you look back and, you know, we look at what they've done with the stolen bases right up there and leading the league and right up in that upper echelon with stealing bases and doing the little things. They're doing all the little things to score runs, and it's paying off big. When you go from first to third, or you go from home to second, these guys are not just running out of – they're sprinting out of that batter's box, and they're going. They know when the ball's put in play. Like Christian in that legging out that in the first inning, when as soon as Adames hit that ball, he was going to score. There's no question that he was going to score. And so you get yourself in position that you can do the great things. That's why this ball club is leading the league with 2 outs and getting runners in scoring position and getting the little base hits, because they do all the little things, and a big portion of that is their team speed, and it's really paying off.
You mentioned that little thing there with Christian Yelich understanding the situation. For kids watching at home or listening at home, if you make it to a ballpark or if you're watching on television, whatever, specifically, let's say you're in the stands, okay? And I know sometimes some Brewer fans joke a little too much about Bill Schroeder saying, "Oh, watch Yelly run the bases." He means that.
Like, that's right.
Watch Yelly run the bases, because the way he read that ball being in the gap on a ball that Willie kind of lunged on, but he still got good barrel on it, that Yelly knew, if this ball hits the wall, I am scoring no matter what. And you have to have that mindset. The dude is 32 years old. He's now leading the National League in both batting average and on-base percentage. He is the captain of this team, no matter what anybody thinks. He is the captain of this team. He ain't going anywhere. And to set that tone in the first inning, after losing 12-2 the night before, having a meh road trip in the West Coast, say, no, let's get back on track, playing Brewer baseball. That's exactly what Christian Yelich embodies.
And we've talked about the veteran players. You know, I went through some tonight, and I said, you know, let's look at the veteran players, because we talked about in the past. We talk about Hoskins, Adames, Yelly, and Contreras. 4 guys leading the team in home runs, all 4 of those guys. All 4 of those guys leading the team in RBIs. So when you look at what these guys do, they're setting the tone. But that's not the only part that they're setting the tone with. They're setting the tone when they run down the first base, or they make a good defensive play, or how they get themselves in position when there's a runner in scoring position, giving that good at-bat. There's a lot of factors when you play the game of baseball that play big and you don't notice them. Little things like a good at-bat, running the bases. These things are huge. And with this ball club, I'm going to tell you what, the team speed has been huge with this ball club. There's a reason why they lead this league with 2 outs and scoring all the runs. Is because, boy, when they put the ball in play, they're going to score, and they get themselves in position to score. You got to be in position to score in order to get the score run. This team does that, and they do it because they have good team speed.
And it's a cliche, but it's the truth. And I don't like using cliches, especially like this one that's a little dated, if you forgive me, but yeah. They play the game the right way. We've heard that a lot, and some people roll their eyes at that. But to me, playing the game the right way is exactly that. And it's not a matter of they don't hit homers. They absolutely hit homers. They have a blend. They have a well-constructed offense where you need guys like Sal Frelick, who are pests and put the ball in play. You need guys at the bottom of the order. How about the bottom of the order today? Perkins drawing 2 walks. Monasterio getting 3 times on base. Terang having a couple of good hits against the lefty. Like, the team is constructed so that you play the game the right way with maybe the guys that don't have the same power as the guys in the middle of this order that do. That when Contreras hits a ball 117 miles an hour off the bat, you are going to score some runs. Or when Rhys Hoskins gets into a 3-1 count, he is ready to unleash, and he hits a 400-foot bomb to left field. That's what playing the game the right way is to me.
You know, Dom, in another factor, when you see this ball club, and you get to see it being where we are during the game, excuse me, but you watch this dugout. Watch out when a player does something really good. Adames, he's talking to Cheerio. Or the younger players, when something is good, I ran the bases, they're always talking to each other about, hey, I did something there. I hit the ball here. Here's what I was looking for. Those are the little things when you have veteran players that are taking the lead and saying, hey, we're going to show you the way the game is played. You follow us and you play it as hard as you can. Good things are going to happen. And that doesn't come for just guys going out and playing. It comes out because there's an educational process that goes on during the game. But there's as big an educational process that goes on in the dugout and in the clubhouse, and this club has it.
It's been very, very fun to watch. A couple of texts here. This one from Josh in Milwaukee. Brewers really couldn't have played any better tonight. Tobias was outstanding again, and the offense kept the pressure off of him. Have to highlight Hoskins making some incredible defensive plays. Absolutely, I agree with that. Bashing a homer, hoping for another series win tomorrow. This one from Austin in Poinette. Hey, Dom, can't say enough good things about Tobias Myers this year. Could he start a game early in a playoff series? It's a little early for that conversation. However, I could see Tobias being available in like a DS scenario, maybe not in a wild card scenario. I would still slot Freddy Peralta and Colin Ray ahead of him. And honestly, a healthy Joe Ross combined with Jacob Junis for a game three would work for me too. And then maybe you have Tobias Myers starting game one of a DS, that sort of thing. But I wouldn't see him in the wild card round unless something really changes between now and then. He really looks like the best pitcher in baseball, but I think that's a good question.
I think you see how he continues to throw the ball. And I tell you, sometimes you get these guys, that young pitchers, that just get in a groove and they're just focused on what they're doing. You got to be a little bit careful, because you got to look at that Tobias Myers has not played in a major league season, up and down like he's been, and pitched those type of games. So they'll keep a closer eye on him. But when you just to have an arm like him that is at your disposal, could he be a pitcher in the playoffs? He possibly could. I think when you look at Freddie and Colin Ray, they're your one and two guys. But I'm going to tell you, when you go from there, it's up for grabs. And who's ever throwing the ball the best, I think that's what this organization would do.
Absolutely. But hey, it's only July 10th.
Let's
not get greedy.
And we got a ways to go.
It was a good night. The Cardinals got swept in a doubleheader. So that certainly helps the cause as well. We got another segment with Augie coming up after the break. Brewers win 9-0, 855-616-1620. If you're staying up late with us tonight, right here on your home of the Brewers, 620. WTMJ.
On deck, more Brewers extra innings.
Over the Pirates, they got a tall task tomorrow with Paul Skeens waiting for them in game three of this series. I'm Dom Catronio. Jerry Augustine's with us for one more segment. Real quick to tomorrow, our second look at Aaron Civale. He made the start on Friday against the Dodgers. I don't think he pitched that poorly. He got a couple of ambushes that ended up being home runs. He gave up three homers in that game, but matched the season high with 8 strikeouts against a good Dodger lineup. And Civale is somebody that the Brewers are now another week into this relationship, and what this could mean for a guy that's starting to get a little more comfortable. It's like, hurry up and start, meet all your teammates, and then figure it out from there. I think you're going to start seeing Civale be very important. And a reminder, this is just the beginning for Civale. He's under team control for next year, too.
Yeah, I like the pickup. I think when I watched him pitch against the Dodgers, he was out there trying. He came in and he tried to do a quick educational period where he said, hey, this is how I pitch, this is what I like to do. And I tell you, that first time you go out, you kind of learn about him. You know, you see what he does, and then you get that time where you can go through your regular routine. Now he's had a chance to say, hey, I'm going to go in the bullpen, I'm going to be able to work with the coaches, I'm going to be able to work with the catchers, I'm going to show them what I like to do and see what it works at. I think it really does pay off a lot, and I think it's going to pay off for him. It's going to be a fun game to watch with the matchup tomorrow, but I thought he threw the ball very well the first time out and really kept the team in the game, and that's what you want to do. You want to keep your team in the game. He went out there and threw strikes, and I tell you what, he's got a better breaking ball than I thought. He has a good 12-6 breaking ball. He commands that for strikes, along with that fastball he threw up in his zone. I think he could be pretty effective against this Pirate team.
I agree. Before we wrap up on tonight, I want to get to the phone lines. 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620. Doug and Baraboo, you're back on the program. You're live on Brewers Extra Innings.
Good evening, Dom and Augie. I normally don't start looking ahead. I'm really a pitch-by-pitch person. But as a fan, I think we have a right and we have fun sometimes looking ahead. And if the Brewers win their division and they're close to the other two division winners and or ahead, do you think there's a legitimate chance, maybe as announcers, do you think there's a legitimate chance Murph could get manager of the year?
He's the favorite. I don't see why he's not the favorite. I mean,
I can't believe he wouldn't be the favorite.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, there's a great chance, and Doug, I mean, you can react to this too, Doug, that Pat Murphy and Stephen Vogt both win manager of the year.
That's
as
right.
First-year managers, and, you know, obviously Pat Murphy here as a Brewer, and Stephen Vogt, a former Brewer, right? That's something to react to, right?
Absolutely, and there's just such a feeling with this team. I love watching them play live or on the radio, listen on the radio, whatever. There's just such a different feeling, and that would be unbelievable. And I'd hope the East and West Coasters would tune in and really see what's going on sometimes.
Basically, if this continues on this pace and the Brewers win the Central with all these injuries and all the bad luck they've had, but every team has injuries and bad luck. Appreciate the call there, Doug, but honestly, the thought for me is it would be ironic. I know the content that would come after that, given Craig never won one here, and if Murph wins it in his first year, it would be sort of funny. But at the same time, if not now, never. Because if this team wins the division, no one had them higher than third or fourth in the division. No one predicted them to win the division. It's only July 10th. We're not saying they're winning the division. But they had a team meeting today. Undaunted was born. And they go out and win 9-0, one of their more dominant wins of the year, after one of their more flat wins of the year. I don't think that's a coincidence, Augie. I really don't.
I just think, you know, I think as a manager, you have to build your team with your culture, the culture that you'd like to have. And I think Murph has been around long enough. Like, we already talked about how he's the youngest coach in Division I history to get the 500 wins. Mm-hmm. And you don't just get the 500 wins by just throwing guys out on the field because you're at Arizona State or you're at Notre Dame. You got to coach these guys and you got to be able to develop and you got to be able to have a personality relationship with these guys. I think what Murph has done here, and I think Craig Council started that culture saying you got to be a good teammate, you got to go out and you got to be the best player to be, because there's not an I in team, but there's a me in team. And when you're a good me, you make the team better. And there's a lot of things that you talk about there. But I think Murph still had to bring in his culture. It's the Murph culture, and that's what he's brought. And I think he's done an outstanding job, not only with the coaches he have are all on the same page. Bringing Ricky in, I think, has been outstanding. I think Ricky's a good baseball man. But you have to build your culture, and you have to make the organization and the team that's in that clubhouse each and every day has to understand what that culture is. And I think he's done an outstanding job from spring training on to say, this is the way we play. There are no boundaries on how good you can be. Just go be good and play as hard as you can. And I think, Dom, you've been around this club a lot, that you understand that there's a different personality on this team than there was last year.
It really is. And I don't want to say it's like an edge, because it's not the right term. It's confidence, and it's, you know, it's fun. Like, I can't think of another word. It's just fun, because there's balance with the offense and with the speed and with the power. And then there's the veteran leadership with Reese and with Yelly and with Adamas and with Freddie and with Devin. And then there's the youth with Churio and Frelick. And the list goes on. There is certainly something different about this team. Another guy, I talked to you before we came on the show today. Mm-hmm. I said I wanted to talk about Sal Frelick a little bit, because We've talked a lot about Yelly. We've talked a lot about William. We've talked a lot about Churio's hot streak. Like, all of those are very good things to talk about, and we will continue to talk about them. But one guy that's quietly kind of gone under the radar of how great he's been playing for over a month now is Sal Frelick. Let me read you his slash over his last 27 games. So just about a month, 96 plate appearances. .314 batting average, .372 on base. He's not a slugging guy, but it's a .384 slug. That's not his job. A .756 OPS. Here's my favorite part of this. 8 walks, only 9 strikeouts. This is the guy that they were seeing. 3 hits tonight. He's 4th on the team in multi-hit games. He had a triple tonight. He had great defense down the right field line as well. Not everybody needs to hit homers. And having complimentary players and guys that can have a sense for the bat. I mean, look, not to ruffle feathers here, Luis Arraez is an all-star for a reason. It's because he puts bat on ball. Sal Frelick puts bat on ball. I'm not saying he's going to be Luis Arraez, But there are some similarities there.
You know, the one thing that he's such a good defensive player. Anywhere you play him in the outfield, he's going to be a plus player. And I just, some of the plays he's made, like tonight, the sliding catch, mm-hmm. you know, he's no fear. He doesn't care. I think he went for a home run one time. He banged it into the wall, got him, knocked himself a little silly. But he's just one of those guys that goes guts out every time he plays in that outfield. But where it's really been impressive to me, his plate coverage. When he goes at the plate. Now, I was watching him earlier last year, and I was, you know, they say in the big leagues that, you know, it takes about 1,000 at bats or 700 to 1,000 bats. Then you start learning about major league pitching. Yeah, that's true, but there's always adjustments. But I tell you what, his adjustments at the plate and what he's done from last year to this year has been, I read you like Terang, classic. Those guys go up there and they just take what they're given and they put it in play. He is the type of guy that as he gets more experience and goes along, he's going to become more dangerous. Why? Because he'll put the ball in play no matter where it is. He'll hit the ball on the right field, left field line. He doesn't care. He doesn't worry about home runs. He worries about what? Putting the ball in play and making something happen. He does that very well.
I mean, tonight, he hit an opposite field single in the first inning to score a run. He drew a walk in the third. He grounded out in the fifth to second base. He hit an opposite field double in the left center field gap, also with a two-strike count on him, then pulls a triple down the right field line. I mean, it doesn't need to be elevated every time. I mean, this is what he does, and all the while, like you said, the great defense. And he has now played, you know, 140 games. So he's almost at a full season, if you will, for his young big league career. He's only 24 years old, too. Like, it's not like he's this older guy that's been in the minors for a long time. They moved him up very quickly. 140 games. His on base is .339. That is roughly 20 points better than a league average. In his second season, this dude is going to be good, and he's going to be good by doing what he did tonight, spraying liners all over the place.
You know, Dom, I'm a pitcher. I like breaking balls and fastballs and mm-hmm. curveballs and change-ups and striking guys out and popping guys up and knocking guys off the plate. I like that stuff. But I'm going to tell you what. When Frelick hit that ball in the corner, when he was running the base, I was having fun watching him go. He just, you know, he's that guy right out of the batter's box. Soon as Tellez dove for that ball and it got by him, I'm going to tell you what. He was not in first gear. He was in fourth gear, and he was some kind of going. I thought that he's just one of those kids that you never have to worry about him because he's always going to give you 100%. And when you have a young player that's that devoted to the game of baseball and has that much talent and is going to give you 100%, he's got to help your ball club. And I think he's done a great job with the Brewers.
Yeah, I tweeted it earlier tonight. You can follow me on Twitter at @Dom_Catronio. But just the multi-hit games continue to be impressive for not just him, but for the whole team. So tonight, William Contreras still leads the team in multi-hit games with 29. But Yelich, Adames, and Frelick all had multi-hit games. Terang and Yelich are tied for second with 25, and then it's Adames and Frelick with 23. Those are all very different players, to say the least, and it talks about that balance that this team has. And they're going to have a tall task tomorrow with Paul Skenes. But hey, they beat up Shota Imanaga back in May. Maybe they can be the ones that beat up Paul Skenes and quiet all this talk about him starting the All-Star game. I think it'd be cool for him to start the All-Star game, but are we just completely ignoring Chris Sale and Ranger Suarez for what they've been doing? Like, come on. Like, we need to tap the brakes as a baseball fandom. Like, it's cool what Paul Skenes doing. He's going to pitch in the game. You got to reward Ranger Suarez and or Chris Sale for what they've done to this point in the season.
Yeah, they have. It's going to be interesting. When, you know, the one thing that comes, when you get a young player that comes around, that Skenes has come along and done what he's done. I watched his last start. I watched how he was throwing the ball, and he got himself in trouble a few times, and he just pitched his way out of it. And it's a little bit of veteranship in there that he showed when he was in the game. And, you know, you could tell him walking off the field that he just has that look about him as a young player saying, you know what, just ride my back. Give me some runs. Give me something to work with, and I'll take you to the promised land. He's got that kind of attitude. And I'd have a young pitcher. I like that. Tobias tonight he showed me that he just had that vigor in him that's saying, hey, we got beat last night. I'm not going to let it happen tonight. And those are these young pitchers that come out and they pitch well. But not only do they pitch well, boy, they have that you could see that inner confidence that when they walk off the mound, they're out there for a reason. I'm going to carry this team. I'm going to do the best I can. I'm going to keep us in the game, and hopefully you can win it.
Yeah, I agree. So it's going to be a fun one tomorrow. If you don't have tickets, you should come. I mean, you can say you saw Paul Skeens pitch here at American Family Field. You're probably going to see him a lot over the next few years, but this kid is certainly a talent. Jerry Augustine, appreciate you as always, my friend. Thanks for hopping on this week with us here on WTMJ with the day game tomorrow. No show, so we'll talk to you sometime after the break.
Yeah, it'll be fun. It'll be fun. The Brewers are playing well. It's going to be fun going into the break this way, and it's been fun. I always call All-Star break the first half.
It is.
And it's been great being with you. We've had a lot of fun. We've had a lot of good conversations and talking baseball. When the team is playing well, it just makes it that much more fun.
It makes it a lot easier, too, to say the least. I don't know what you guys are so mad about last night. What's the big deal? I mean, they come out here and do this. Jerry Augustine here on WTMJ. We'll talk to you soon, my friend. Thank you.
Great being with you.
All right. Back with more after this on 620 WTMJ.
Coming up, more Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Brewers get the win, 9-0. Fun times here at the ballpark. Back tomorrow at 1:10, the On Deck Show, built by Menards, will begin at 12:35. Then on Friday, it's back to the night games as the Washington Nationals come to town. We're on the air at 6. Then it's a 7:10 first pitch. 3:10 on Saturday, we're on the air at 2. And 1:10 on Sunday, we're on the air at noon. So get your weekend planned. And then it's 5 days off for the All-Star break. And still, as of now, only two Brewers representatives headed to the All-Star game, with Christian Yelich and William Contreras both being starters. And if there's a silver lining to that, if Bryce Terang doesn't ultimately get added or Trevor McGill doesn't ultimately get added, once Yelich and Contreras are out of the game, you can click it off. You don't got to wait for your guys to come into the game and pitch one inning or something like that to face two batters. So those are some silver linings, if you will. Text here that came in from Tomas and McQuanago. What would be a reasonable trade for somebody like Scherzer? Well, that plot got a little interesting today, Tomas, because the on Foul Territory, the one independent journalism, Scott Braun, AJ Pruszynski, Eric Kratz, former Brewer on there as well. They had Scherzer on the program today, and he flat out said, I'm not waiving my no trade clause. We're going to fix this. We're going to win here in Texas. We're going to get better when DeGrom comes back, and they think he's going to stick around. I mean, it's his word versus the general manager's word. I think it's a little bit of lip service, too, from Chris Young, their general manager, saying, hey, guys, I'm going to go talk to the media and say you guys are all for sale if you don't start playing better. And he did that. So I imagine the Rangers will start kicking it in the gear. Granted, they're down 7-2 the Angels right now. They had won 5 in a row coming into tonight. So the Rangers are trying to get back on track. But I just, it's going to be, if the Brewers were even to pull something like that off, it's not going to be as big of a price as you think, given the Mets are already paying a big chunk of his salary for this year from that trade to get him to the Rangers last year because of the quality of prospect they got back and the extra year of control that was given to Scherzer from last year's deal. So I imagine it ends up being a quarter. You would owe him roughly $10 million or so for the rest of the season, depending on when you get him in the year. And that can determine what kind of a quality prospect you give, or if the Rangers kick in money, how would that work? So it's probably going to be a 1-for-1 or a 2-for-1 if it does happen, but I don't think it's going to happen for the Brewers. I could see them, if they're going to make a splash, I don't think anybody's off limits, truly. But I just don't see them making a splash. And I don't mean it in a bad way, like Aaron Civale is all they need. It's not. They would love another one, to say the least. But it gets really crowded, and I know D.L. Hall kind of feels like, when's it going to happen? And Joe Ross is going to be like, when's it going to happen? You got to remember, a lot of these guys are on the 60-day IL. And you still got Jared Koenig, who is going to throw a bullpen tomorrow as well. That's a good sign for him, so he needs to be activated to the roster. You've got Nolly Paredes, who doesn't have any options on the injured list right now. So when he comes back, you need to make sure you're going to keep him around. You still got Devin Williams going to be returning after the All-Star break. Not only is that an active roster spot, but a 40-man roster spot. When Joe Ross comes back, he's got to come off onto the 40-man roster because he's on the 60-day IL. So there are decisions looming for the Brewers. Maybe a trade makes it a little bit easier from their pitching depth, but because their pitching depth has been so tested, their 40-man suddenly has guys that maybe you wouldn't have expected on the 40-man at this point in the year. I don't see Scherzer getting traded. I think the price for Crochet is still astronomical from what I have heard. And furthermore, Eric Fetty has kind of come back down to earth a little bit. Lizardo is on the injured list. Tyler Anderson's price is exorbitant as well. So the starting pitcher market, it's a seller's market, to say the least, right now. Another couple of thoughts as we look around the league here real quick. The mentioned it earlier in the I-70 series, Royals and Cardinals. Royals sweep them, and that's big for the Royals, too, because they've been kind of treading water as of late over in the American League, kind of stuck in a fake little rut right here. But right now, Kansas City, they're in the like hunt-ish in the Central. They're 7.5 back, but they're really competing in the American League wild card. Right now, in the wild card, pulling it up right now, the Royals are just a half game back of the Boston Red Sox. And the Red Sox tonight, they, if I'm not mistaken, they were facing the A's, and they lost tonight by a 5-2 score. So every game's going to matter for them downstretch. The Cardinals, though, for them losing two, Brewers are never going to complain about that. The Reds even lost today, too, to the Rockies, but it wasn't a full big good day for the Brewers as the Cubs shut out the Orioles by a 4-0 score. That was a Burns versus Imanaga matchup there at Camden Yards. Couple of the games in action right now. Twins beat the White Sox 3-2 in game one of their doubleheader, and then game one went to the White Sox, game two went to the Twins. Some low scoring affairs there on the south side. The Diamondbacks just bounced back against the Braves, and not just the Diamondbacks, but specifically Paul Sewald. Each of his last three outings, he had blown a save. Today he goes 1-2-3 for the Diamondbacks. And you look elsewhere. See, the Guardians fall to the Tigers 5-4. The Phillies beat the Dodgers again. They've won that series 4-3. Kyle Schwarber hit another leadoff home run in that one. Astros, they're continuing to lurk. They win over the Marlins 9-1. They're now four games above 500. And when you peek at what Seattle is doing, they beat the Padres earlier today 2-0. Julio Rodriguez, he's finally waking up as he's getting things going. Today, he was 0-for. And he had the golden sombrero, in fact. He had a home run yesterday, though, but the Mariners are going to try to fight off the Astros for the rest of the year. Up next, we're going to hear from the manager, Pat Murphy. We're also going to hear the highlights a little bit later on in the program as the Brewers win 9-0 over the Pirates. Fun one here at the yard. Go for the series win tomorrow here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
On deck, more Brewers Extra Innings. Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Welcome back. I'm Dom Catronio. Brewers win. Fun night. Sorry I missed yesterday's tough one. Hey, it's all good. We're just out on assignment. Was out in Philly watching the bank rock again. Trey Turner hit a grand slam in that one. But the Brewers, they're showing. I mean, tomorrow could be a big day for them against Paul Skenes. Could really generate some momentum heading into the National Series, who's been playing better baseball. They lost tonight to the Mets, but look, there's no such thing as trap series in the big leagues. But let's be honest, like, hey, man, you got Pirates and Nats who have both been playing great baseball. Maybe some fans would assume, oh, you should sweep those guys. No, it's hard to sweep. And now you're facing one of the best pitchers in baseball tomorrow, already getting crowned that. And the Nats, it's a battle of can you battle through it and make it to Sunday. And let's see what the Brewers four games before the break. Want to remind you that Brewers Extra Innings is brought to you in part by Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. Right now, for a limited time, Sider's offering $10 off an AC tune-up or $10 off an HVAC, plumbing, or electrical service call. At Sider, your home comfort is top priority. Visit Sider.com today. That's S-E-I-D-E-R. com. Manager was in a good mood. It's easy when your starter goes 8 shutout innings. Tobias Myers, a story today. Here's Pat Murphy after with the media.
I mean, Tobias was attacking, which he's been most times, but he was attacking. You know, you got to put Contreras in the conversation because Contreras really did guide him through. I mean, he understood what Tobias was good at. That slider's become a real pitch now. And he threw some cutters, but Contreras from the first inning kept adjusting with him. And then he found his stuff again. Third or fourth inning, he found his stuff. And, you know, we played great defense behind him. We hit in the clutch. We scored a ton of runs with two outs. And, yeah, that was the name of the game. And we stayed with it for 9 innings.
All that two-out stuff starts with Yelich, you know, one of your stars, kind of beating out a ball on the infield. Did that kind of feel like a tone setter tonight?
Well, I mean, the whole thing is about staying relentless, and we stayed relentless. And that feels good when I see those at-bats that are, you know, taking a walk after, you know, a long inning. I mean, there's a couple instances there. I didn't write it down. A couple instances where we took a walk after, you know, we scored two runs, and then there's two outs, and the guy could be a free swinger. He just stuck to it. He was Monasterio after Hoskins' home run or something like that. I'm not sure exactly. But, you know, guys are working individual bats no matter what the situation. Doesn't matter. Down four, up five, doesn't matter. Work your at-bat the same way. So that was impressive. The defense is underrated. Hoskins made plays. Frelick made plays. You know, Mona made plays. Yeah, it's a great night offensively. Hoskins made a couple of nice plays. Hard shot, and then that turned a double play there in the seventh, I think.
Almost everything that Tobias threw tonight was away, whether it was to a righty or a lefty. He was hammering away to both of those guys. Just how big was the command to him for him on the outer third of the plate?
You know, in today's game, that word command is not used nearly as much. It used to be a staple in the game in terms of, like, you have to pitch with command. You know, the great ones do. With the stuff getting so great that in the zone seemingly to be bigger, you get away with it more without having command. But this kid tonight, again, with Williams' guidance, this kid tonight was very, very good. And commanding the baseball is an ingredient of his he has to do.
Murph, how have you seen him jump in that regard during the season? Because, I mean, there's games, like, think back to the Wrigley start where he couldn't find the zone, and there's some games where he's in the zone, but it's middle, and he's getting hit around. Like, how has he been able to add that to his game mid-year?
Yeah, I mean, this kid had no thought he was going to pitch for the Milwaukee Brewers in the big leagues this year. He might have, but if he's being honest with himself, he was one of the first guys out of spring training, and I didn't really know his repertoire, to be quite honest with you. When he was one of the first batch out. We got how many pitchers in spring? 30-some pitchers in spring? Like, I'm not thinking about, hey, I got to bear down on Tobias and see what he's got for us. I'm watching him in general, knowing he's going out in the first group. So I didn't really get to know him or see whatever. But he obviously has taken the opportunity to come here and just say, and he's reached out to other players, and he is working in between. Those 5 days in between or 4 days in between are just as important to him as the day he pitches in terms of work. He goes after it. And when you got a guy that works like that, you know, doing what you're supposed to do, when you're supposed to do it.
Whether you like it or not.
Whether you like it or not. What is that? Yes, you do.
But it's kind of along those lines. I mean, his debut came against them, right, back in April. And just what can you say about just the growth that you've seen?
No question. I mean,
you went out and talked to him, right, before that.
Yeah, that's right.
You.
That's right. You remind me of that. No, it's great to see. I mean, this kid has really worked for it, gotten better, made adjustments. We're talking about, you know, started saying, look, I can throw the ball where I want to, you know. We talked last outing about starting at 91, and then in the middle of the game, he finds 94, 95. Like, wait a minute, bro, you're going to get knocked out before you do that. Be ready to go from pitch one. And yeah, he's had a little bit of that tonight, but he was, again, William recognizes things pretty quickly and makes adjustments. It was good.
A lot of credit went to William Contreras tonight, and aptly deserved. I'm trying to effort a conversation with Tobias Myers for tomorrow night's Brewers Weekly here on WTMJ. That'll be at 8 o'clock live or in your podcast feeds at Brewers All Access. Highlights, they're coming up next here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
Coming up, more Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. Is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. Ready for this?
Get up!
This?
Get up!
And this?
Get out of here! Go!
Time for tonight's highlights. Here's Dominic Catronio.
All right, Brewers looking for the rebound here against the Pirates. Tobias Myers getting the ball, the first team he ever faced in the big leagues. Martin Perez getting his second start of the year against the crew as well. They beat up on him the last time they saw him in May, and, well, more of the same here today. In the first inning, though, Perez got a chance to get out of the inning quickly, but on a 1-2 pitch, Christian Yelich had an infield single, two outs, okay, no big deal. He gets ahead of Willy Adames 0-2. He fights off a couple of pitches. That will be a theme for the night.
Throws home, and a fly ball out towards right center. That is deep. It is back and off the wall on a bounce. Yelich will score standing up as Willy Adames puts the Brewers in front. 1-0.
And yet they still weren't done in the inning. The next batter in the five spot, Sal Frelick.
Deep breath, the 2-1. Line drive, base hit, left field. Adames sent around third. Here comes the throw home. It'll be cut off. Back-to-back runs, scoring hits for the Brewers. Makes it 2-0 in the first.
Jeff Levering on the call here on WTMJ. Meanwhile, Tobias Myers didn't allow a hit until the top of the fourth inning. And at one point, he had 16 consecutive strikes in this one. Through four innings, he hadn't allowed a run with four strikeouts, leaving two men stranded. In the bottom of the fourth inning, the Brewers were ready to go against Perez again. With one out, Monasterio singled up the middle. Terang blooped a single in a left. Two men on, one out. Churio ended up flying out. That would move runners to the corners. William Contreras got into a hitter's count, and man, he didn't miss it.
2-0. Line down the left field line. This is a fair ball. It's off the wall in the corner. One run is in. Terang around third. He's sent home. Here's the throw, and Bryce is in there safely. Contreras into second. Two-run score. It's 4-0 Milwaukee.
To say it was a liner was an understatement. It was hit 117 miles an hour off the bat. Not even his hardest hit of the week. Remember, he had 118 in L.A. on Saturday. I mean, it was hit so hard, no one knew if it was going to stay fair, but it held its line, putting a bruise into that wall. So that makes it 4-0 Brewers, as called by Lane Grindle there. And then we move on to the fifth inning. Once again, the Brewers get a rally going with two outs and another hitter's count, this time for a pillar, Rhys Hoskins.
3-1, drive to deep left. Boy, did Hoskins unload on this one. Way out of here. Home run number 14 for Hoskins.
So he takes the team lead with that home run for Rhys. It's 5-0 Brewers. And meanwhile, Tobias is still rolling as we move into the fifth. A 1-2-3 frame there. Move into the sixth. A 1-2-3 frame there with a great play by Sal Frelick sliding down the line there. In the seventh, a leadoff, excuse me, double from Rowdy Tellez finally made Tobias Myers sweat. Gonzalez would fly out for the first out. Palacios would hit a single into left field, but too hard to allow Tellez to score. Men on the corners, one out, and got a little help from his defense.
3-2 pitch. Ground ball. One hops Hoskins at first. He goes to second for one. Back to Hoskins in time. Wow. 3-6-3 for the double play. A great pick by Hoskins on a ball that got onto him quickly. Made a great throw to Adames. And Adames with that big arm with a great return throw to first and a good stretch by Hoskins. And the Brewers turn two and they get out of trouble.
Myers was in the background clapping his hands, but he wasn't done. He would return for the eighth after a two-out single. He was facing his maybe new nemesis. Remember, Andrew McCutchen took him deep on the first pitch he ever threw in the big leagues. Now he's trying to retire him for eight scoreless.
Myers deals. Popped him up. Foul territory, third base side. It will be Monasterio making the catch, an eight scoreless from Tobias Myers tonight in Milwaukee. Another gem from the Brewers right-hander.
It was the second time he's done that this year. He's the first rookie for a Brewer, for the Brewers, to have at least two starts of eight shutout innings. The other being Willy Peralta back in 2013. Yeah, I said that, you know, Rhys Hoskins took the team lead with his 14th home run. Willy Adames made sure that was only going to last a few innings in the ninth.
1-2. Fly ball down the left field line. This is going to be a goner. A home run for Willy. A three-run shot makes it 9-0. Just did tuck it inside the pole.
Jeff Levering's calling. The eighth inning, of course, for Willy Adames. So he's got 14, just like Rhys Hoskins. Rob Zastrzyzny had a 1-2-3 ninth to close things out. It's a shutout, the sixth of the year for the Brewers, and they will go for the series win tomorrow. We'll preview that. Get ready to say goodnight after this. Brewers win 9-0 on WTMJ.
On deck, more Brewers Extra Innings. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Last second text that came in here from Adam in Gainesville. Tobias Myers mentioned that his changeup and slider being tunneling pitches off of his fastball. What does he mean by that? So if you can imagine, you know, a PVC pipe, you know, just a straight pipe. And a fastball is that pipe. It goes dead straight, okay? Now, sliders and changeups start in that pipe, but maybe the slider exits the pipe sooner. That is called tunneling. So when you can make multiple pitches come out of the same tunnel, and then all of a sudden one dips, one slides, and one holds its line, all of a sudden the batter can't distinguish when it's all in that same tunnel what it's going to be. So I hope that helped there paint the picture for you there, Adam. Real quick here, once again, tomorrow, 1:10 first pitch on the air at 12:35 with your Brewers pregame coverage with the On Deck Show. And then back on 7:10 on Friday night. Just want to take the last 90 seconds or so here on the show. If you've been following me on Twitter, if you've been familiar with what happened today for the family and for me personally, my dad announced today, my dad is one of the radio voices of the Oakland Athletics, the team, you know, full disclosure, one of the teams I grew up loving, announced today that he will not be returning for the 2025 season in Sacramento. So he is going to finish the rest of the year. I just want to say, Dad, I love you. I'm so proud of you. I know this is not the end. This is just the end of a chapter, not the end of a book. You have so many people that love you, even in press boxes across the country, and everywhere I go, you have reminded me and everyone that has come in your orbit has reminded me what a great man and what a hard worker you are. I just can only hope that I can be as half as talented and have half the career that you have had. And like I said, I know it is not done yet. All of it doesn't come close to, though, how you are as my dad, as my mom's husband, and now as a no-no to your grandson. Vienna still waits for you. I love you, Dad. I hope you have a great, great rest of your season. Enjoy the relaxation next week with the All-Star break, and I will see you in August getting ready for Brewers and A's for the last time at the Coliseum. So very fired up for that. For our producers, Nate Rilling and Max Meyerson, I'm Dom Catronio. Good night, and until next time, keep on swinging.